Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years now here in this neck of the woods with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and then also with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends over at WTMR, 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. Oh, what a joy it is to come to just sit at the feet of the Lord together and let Him speak to us. And I am so excited about this mini-series within a series that we're going through, Discovering a Portrait of God. That's the big series we've been doing for months and months and months now. Every scripture shows me a portrait of God I just love. And we're looking at many portions of Scripture, giving us a portrait of God that I call, He is our daily grace. The Lord is our daily grace. What a marvelous portrait that is. We've covered two of the three sessions on that as we're going through 10 takeaways about how He is our daily grace. And if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be going to 2 Peter chapter 3. Number 7 in our list, and I'll recap the first six here in just a moment. But as you're making your way to 2 Peter, just a quick reminder that these messages are archived on my website, markpg.org. I'm Mark Gonzalez, so markpg.org. And there you'll also find 3-minute videos that are portraits of God, in addition to these 27-minute audio broadcasts. You'll find some printed materials too, articles I've written that have been published on various topics. Also some quick guides on hot topics that we deal with in church and at home, in life. So just take a peek at markpg.org, because you know what? My heart is to help you hear God, because He loves to speak to us. And speaking of which, as is our custom, as we get ready to go through His love letters to us to finish up this portrait of how He is our daily grace, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Father, I'm so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to just sit at Your feet and gaze into Your eyes and listen for Your voice in, with the ears of our heart. And Lord, I love this portrait of how You are our daily grace. I know I need Your grace upon grace all the time. So, Lord, I pray You will give me the grace to explain this adequately. I'll get it out there. So that my brothers and sisters can be encouraged and walk in the grace upon grace that You provide for us as our daily grace. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to be picking it up here in 2 Peter chapter 3 in just a moment, but just a quick list of the first six as we get to the last four, to give us our 10 takeaways about the Lord our daily grace. Number one was how the Lord our daily grace spawns salvation through grace. He spawns salvation through grace. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number two is how the Lord our daily grace comes from His fullness. His grace comes from His fullness. John 1, for of His fullness we have all received a grace upon grace. And I just love that phrasing. We don't need just one wave of grace. We need wave after wave after wave, because we struggle so much if we get honest with ourselves. We botch it so much if we just get honest with ourselves. Oh, we need His grace upon grace. Number three is that God's grace is... it's God's channel of abundance. It is His channel of abundance. 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So grace is his channel for the things that we need sufficiently. Number four, his grace defines and works through us. This is profound over in 1 Corinthians 15, how that is our identity. It's we are defined by his grace, as his grace works through us and our creative wiring, that and how God uniquely made us as our creator. 1 Corinthians 15 puts it this way, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Isn't that amazing? And it goes on to talk about that. Number five is how his grace, number five, spawns different gifts in different degrees. Romans 12 puts it this way, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And we looked at those seven gifts of grace and saw the animal metaphors to describe them, so we could see how God wired us. That's part of the package of our creation. And then number six, about the Lord our daily grace, is that his grace, number six, comes to the humble, not the proud. James 4 puts it this way, but he gives a greater grace, and therefore it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, just to be clear, the grace is always there. It's ready for us. But when we are so proud that we don't humble ourselves in his presence, we're not asking for the Lord to do a work in our lives or to give us wisdom in a situation or to worship or to pray, we miss out upon all the grace after grace that he has right there ready for us, because we just won't take the time to abide in him and receive it. And it kind of goes wasted just sitting there. Oh, his grace comes to the humble, not the proud. Now we get to that 2 Peter 3, verse 18 that I've mentioned, that we'll be going to today to continue and finish up our journey about how the Lord is our daily grace. Number seven is how God's grace is to grow within us. It's to grow within us. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is so important. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace is available to us, wave upon wave, if we abide in the Lord to receive it and stay in tune with him and get in on his heart and on his purposes and in his frequency. It is such an incredible thing when we discover how much grace is there just by humbling ourselves in his presence and being open to all the different ways that he offers it to us, through his people, through his word, through opportunities, even through trials that make us go deeper. There's a grace upon grace that's available to us. Now, let me just say this. I love how it's talking about how we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace is to grow with in us, and that's to the degree that we receive it, it will continue to grow. Think organically. Think like a vine. In fact, John 15 talked about how abiding in the vine, we are the branches, you know, and stuff. The more you abide in him, the more there'll be just organic growth, and that's the grace and the knowledge of God that he's given us. The more you abide in him, the more you'll grow in grace and knowledge. And it's not quick. It's like planting anything. It'll be emerging slowly over the course of time. It's not like, you know, 1 minute grits or something, or 1 minute oats that you just throw in the microwave, poof. Now, sometimes we'll get an insight, an epiphany that is seemingly quick. All of a sudden, bing, there it is. I've never seen it before. Wow, it just came out of nowhere. Well, it really didn't come out of nowhere. You see, if you're a child of the living God, and even if you're not, the Lord is constantly whispering, constantly offering grace upon grace, seeping into you. There are antecedents leading to the time where it becomes, wow, an aha moment. There are always antecedents to the things that occur. I had a history professor who used to always tell us in seminary, he said, fellas, you see about this happening at a church or this movement of God or this way, And it seems like history just turned a sharp corner and started going a whole new direction. History does not turn sharp corners. It's a slow, gradual turn. But the manifestation, it becoming more public, more seeable, more identifiable, that's what might seem sudden, but there were a lot of things leading up to that. That's the way it is in our lives. Grace and the knowledge of the Lord, we're more like crock pots, not microwaves. And, you know, I have the joy of working with lots of pastors and among them many young pastors. And I love working with, well, honestly, most of them, because there's a few who think they got their act together, they know what they're doing, they don't need to seek wisdom of those of us who've got the battle scars and the mistakes to prove that it's not easy. And they're just, you know, rambling along and, you know, leaving a pretty rough wake wherever they go, but you just have to hang in there with them. Some will have a slow dawning of how much they don't know, which will humble them. You see, for every one new thing I may learn about God, that spawns five new questions I hadn't even thought about before. Therefore, the curve on the graph of what I'm not knowing about God is growing faster than the curve of what I am learning about God. And the longer you go, the greater the gap. One, I learn things, five new things I don't. Another one, I new things, now there's 10 things I don't. A third thing I learn, now there's 15 things I don't. And over time, the gulf is so ridiculously huge, you cannot possibly be cocky anymore. The Lord is the Lord of all wisdom, eternal wisdom from eternity past to eternity future. He gives me glimpses on a need-to-know basis. And you know what? I am good with that. I forsake the hubris, the arrogance that thinks I'm only going to act when I get my head around this thing. That just shows a naivety. We can't get our head around anything. You can only get bits and pieces and glimpses by the grace upon grace of God. We trust Him to fill in that knowledge gap, that wisdom gap. We're on a need-to-know basis. It's sufficient, whatever He gives me, and I just walk in it. We're more crockpots with the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ growing, cooking, than microwaves. Give people time. Give them grace for a very slow learning curve, but do point them in the right direction with little nuggets here and there, little encouragements here and there. But you can't force it. I remember planting, as a boy, a little bean garden. I wanted to grow something. My dad showed me how to do it. All right, we're going to put these beans in. Just put the soil around. Now, you want to make sure and, you know, check on them every day and, you know, water is when they need it. And before you know it, in a few weeks, you'll start seeing those little bean plants come out of the ground. So I did. Put them in there. Got real excited. Checked in on every day. But after about 2-3 weeks, nothing was happening. I said, Dad, nothing's happening. I'm doing... What? Just go out there and look. So we did. He said, these things should be about, you know, knee high by now, these bean plants. Okay, you've been checking it every day? Oh, yeah. Well, show me how you do that. Oh, sure. So I got my little shovel and I dug up the seed. I said, see, it looks okay to me. And I put it back in. Wait. You've been digging up the seeds every day to check on them? Well, yeah, that's what you said. Oh, no. I didn't mean to dig it up. I mean, you've been disrupting it the whole time. In your zeal to try to do the right thing, you over-inspected it and disrupted it. What I meant was, once it starts coming, I check the soil, does it need a little moisture? Then when it starts coming up, you check it then. You don't dig up the seed every day, son. But we do that. Maybe not so much with ourselves, although some of us look at our own heart way too much instead of thinking of others and focusing on the Lord. And then we look at other people's and inspect them all the time. We disrupt the whole process. Grace and knowledge will grow in hearts that are watered by gentle grace and wisdom and time, not micro-inspected all the time. So, the Lord, our daily grace, gives us a grace that is to grow within us. But number 8, He gives us a grace that is sufficient for any weakness in us. It is sufficient for any weakness in us. Listen to this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to them, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Isn't that marvelous? It is sufficient for any weakness in us. Here's the reality. We have all kinds of weakness and limits in our lives. And we get so insecure about that. We have three basic ways we try to deal with that. One is healthy, two are not. And I want to illustrate that by thinking of an egg, you know, a lengthwise, you know, just standing up. And on top of that egg, the right way to try to deal with this is to understand our need for interdependence. Interdependence is acknowledging that I have a weakness, I have limits, I have blind spots. I need God and I need His people to help me see those things in order to, you know, walk this balance of life on top of this oval egg, right? And that's kind of tricky. And the reason I like this illustration is because it's easy to slip off on one side or the other to the two other ways we try to cope with our weaknesses and limitations. One is independence. That's on one side of the egg. You don't want to go there. Independent. I can do this. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm not going to depend on anyone. I don't trust anyone. And kind of even God, you know. So we try to be this self-sufficient, independent buckaroo, and that's more of an American concept than it is a biblical concept. So we don't want to be over the edge of independence. We want to be on the top of the egg as interdependent. But on the other side of that little round top is codependency, which is the opposite of independence. Codependence is when we are desperately clingy to other people. We are dependent upon them chronically, 24/7. Can't do this. I need you. I need you. And it's just, that's why some people, they get, you know, 5, 6, 7 girlfriends, you know, and stuff, because they can't be alone, can't be independent. They need others, and you get codependent. And it's even some negative things in families that you end up having to stay together or feeling like you got to solve the whole thing. And if not, it's all going to go bad. Okay. That's a codependent cycle you don't want to get into. We're to be interdependent. That weakness, that limitations, those crises, those, all of those things, we receive the grace upon grace of the Lord, our daily grace, in interdependence with Him and letting Him use others in our lives. That's what keeps us balanced. That's what keeps us wired in a way that is healthy. It is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us in any weakness. And that's why Paul is saying, man, I glory in my weaknesses, because I know I don't have my act together. I know I can't fix things and solve things. I need the grace upon grace of God to get me through my prayer time with Him, through my scripture readings, through my connections with other people of God, counselors, pastors, mentors, interdependence. That's one of God's sources of grace, which is sufficient for any weakness in us. Love that. Now we go into number 9, another dynamic about the Lord who is our daily grace, and that is His grace heals hearts of bitterness. It heals hearts of bitterness. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, which puts it this way. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. All right, here it is. Roots of bitterness can develop if we come short of the grace of God, if we don't seek the grace of God for ourselves and our own weakness and struggles and stumbling and stuff, and if we don't seek His grace and pray over others who are stumbling and sinning and making problems, you know, for themselves and others as well. Don't come short of the grace of God, because if you do, a root of bitterness is going to spring up and just infect your heart and make you more bitter and angry and sullen and depressed and withdrawn and disoriented and angry. Don't fall prey to that. You're making yourself a prisoner when you refuse to forgive others, when you refuse to access the grace of God to forgive people. Listen, it is a given that people will sin in this world, and bad things will happen. People will do bad things. That's just the real world. But in the midst of it is the Lord, our daily grace, who is not excusing that kind of behavior in us or anyone else. It's not explaining it away. It's not ignoring it. It's not whitewashing it. It's not glossing it over. It is a reality. But you have the choice whether to respond with anger and bitterness and blame and all of that, or with grace and love and kindness and forgiveness. Because you see, and here's the big thing, when you come to this place in your life when you're saying, I will never forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. I'll never forgive this. I'll never forget that church. I'll never forget this thing. I'll never forget. When you start collecting all of that type of inner anger, angst, bitterness that you will never forgive, self-righteous, you might call it self-righteous indignation. No, it's just self-righteousness. You become a prisoner, my friends. In fact, I like the guy who put it this way, to forgive is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive. I'm going to run that one by you again. To forgive is to set the captive free. See, we think they're the captive. They're the ones. And man, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just putting you on the outside, man. I'm not going to rescue you from this. You brought this on yourself. They're not the captive. You're the captive. To forgive is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive. This world, this time on earth, it's too short to compile a whole list of bitter unforgiveness. Forgive, my friends. And to help you get there, go on to your own holy hall of shame, where you have hurt people, where you have screwed up, where you have missed the mark, where you have been captive, when you have been on and on and on and on. Hey, you're not perfect, never have been, never will be, but you have a Savior who constantly forgives by His grace upon grace. Remember, grace is an undeserved kindness, undeserved love, undeserved forgiveness. Yeah, that's what God does. And the more you abide in Him, the more you take on that kind of grace-based love for folks, even when they screw up, even when they commit sinful acts, and even when they commit sinful acts against you. To forgive is to set the captive free and discover you were the captive. And it's His grace that enables you to do that, because His grace heals hearts of bitterness. Wow. Well, we wind this up with number 10, the Lord, our daily grace. Well, His grace provides hope and eternal comfort. His grace provides hope and eternal comfort. Let me take you over to two places, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll be going to 1 Peter 5. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by, guess what? It's by grace. By grace, He's given us eternal comfort and good hope. My friend, He comes to heal us. By His stripes, we're healed and we get saved. That healing, some of it will be temporal and physical healing and emotional healing and all that, but ultimately we'll be healed of all things. We have this temporal life here on this planet until we go home to be with the Lord in heaven forever and ever. God provides hope and eternal comfort by His grace. We just read that, but let me show you how it mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning of verse 8, it says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, see, here in this life, we're going to suffer. The enemy's about trying to make you suffer, getting you bitter, angry, untrusting of God, untrusting of people. He's constantly trying to take you down in heart. And that's happening all over. But resist that. Walk by faith. No, I know what God's about. And it goes on to say, after you have suffered for a little while on this planet, on this earth, temporally, after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Oh, to him be dominion forever and ever. To put it simply, my friends, when you get saved and you abide in Christ, follow after him, and you're receiving his grace upon grace every day, there's a hope that comes, realizing in this temporal life, for a little while, we'll be suffering. Satan's attacking. He's winning in a lot of wars these days, a lot of battles. But the war for us is already won in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, we'll be with him, healed and comforted forever and ever. Well, Lord, we thank you for being our daily grace. And we want to access your daily grace, which is you and that which you give us. Oh, Lord, we receive that. We want to walk in it, and we want to be able to be channels of it to others and set the captive free. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And hey, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Until next time, oh, just love the Lord. Your daily grace.